that for me. And put his eyes on me. He said you could've got the best of me. But I said no me. He said try to open up the heavens for me. Put his eyes on me. Something more than all the ice I said. In front of my hand on me. He said try to open up a table for me. Put his eyes on me.
Makes you feel your best.
From the Rock City of Nigeria.
Rock City of Nigeria.
This is Fresh 107.9.
Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, good souls. The time is 10 o'clock and you're welcome to the show. It is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. My name is Gbenga Oresegun. And yes, I'm still the man you just have to love. I tell you, you have no choice here. All right, so you're welcome to the show. The platform comes on your radio Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock. And what do? Basically, conversation that moves this country forward. And this time we're going to be looking in the area of the judiciary. We're going to be beaming our searchlight on the judiciary, the outlook on the judiciary for 2024. Because if you look at it, there's too many things happening in this country at the moment, so, you know, that is worth talking about. This time we shall be looking at the judiciary, and we shall also be casting our minds back to what happened in 2023, you know, in order to look forward. I posted something on social media a couple of minutes ago that the reason you have the rear view mirror in front of you in a car is so that you can see what is happening behind you while you're going forward. In other words, everything works together. The side mirror, the rear view mirror, everything works together. And so, therefore, as we're looking forward and progressing into the heart of 2024, we also have to take into consideration all the things that has happened, you know, that happened in 2023 that may not have been right, and how we can correct those wrongs going forward. And my guest this beautiful Wednesday, this beautiful Monday morning, right here in the studio, my guest is a lawyer and a very good one at that. And yes, he's also the Bar Morphine of Itesi. We have Barrister Kaidi Adiremi joining us right here in the studio. Good morning, Barrister.
Thank you, Bingo. Thank you.
And, yeah, that voice. I've missed that voice. All right, so welcome to the show. Yes, you're welcome to the platform. Yes. So we're having this conversation. We're talking about the judiciary. So let's start with one of the most intriguing message, you know, that was said about the judiciary. And this one actually left me shocked. And what was this thing? It was from a former head of the NBA in person of Olisa Agbakoba, and for a former NBA chairman to hit back hard at the judiciary, of course, it calls for concern. Now, let me make a reference of what Olisa Agbakoba said. Olisa Agbakoba, for those who don't know, is a former president of the Nigerian Bar Association. And he made a harsh critic of Nigeria's Supreme Court recently, calling it, and I quote his words, "the worst I have seen in my 45 years of practice," end of quote. And he accused it of harboring, in quotes, a mafia that blocks qualified individuals from becoming justices. I'll just end it here. Yeah, Olusegun Akubo said it at a colloquium during the birthday celebration of the Senate president, Senator Godswill Akpabio. That statement. My late uncle, Barrister, used to say something. He was a lawyer, you know, back in the day. And he told me that back in the day when he was a lawyer, the justice lady was totally blind. But now, it seems like the justice lady now sees the son of the rich, sometimes sees the son of the poor. In fact, she sees everything. Like she's got one eye opened, probably cheating the system. And at the time he told me this, I didn't really understand because I was quite young, you know, when he said, but the older I got, it became more and more clearer what my late uncle meant. So let's take a look at the judiciary, how it was in the past year, and let's compare it to how it is now. Is it getting better or the other way around?
Well, I think, Binga, I think the answer is in that here, not there, actually.
Is it that narrow there?
Yeah, in my view. Tell because you see some pluses and then you see some minuses.
Okay.
You know, we should bear in mind that what's happening in recent times, the social media or the internet has a lot of roles to play. All right. Before, when things happened, if you did not read the conventional media, you know, particularly in newspapers in the past 20, 30 years, it was difficult, or listen to the television or radio, it was difficult to know what was happening.
That's what news.
Yeah, exactly. But now, you're taking someone to court, someone takes pictures, some people, you know, make some recordings. So that kind of makes the judiciary system closer to the people in a way.
Okay.
So naturally, when such things happens, it has its upsides and downsides. Okay. It will open it, for example, more to a vista of criticisms, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, by the way, criticism is not altogether bad, by the way, if you ask me anyway, provided you have proofs, you know.
Constructive criticism this time.
Two things in my view. One, if you have proofs to back up what you're saying, and two, if you are preferring solutions or suggestions to what you're criticizing. For me, it's all good, really. After all, it makes us better, really. So because the internet happened to us, you know, it made things clearer, like it is called the global village, you know, so people see things more. People can actually, as we're speaking now, some courts are sitting in Port Harcourt, Ibadan, and you know, we call them industrial courts. You can listen to live proceedings as we're seated right here. You know, that started, I think, about 2 years ago or so. Before then, since the courts were established, that never happened. Right, so things are changing, all right. You know, so that means someone can sit in the comfort of his house and listen to proceedings. Of course, they won't show the judges' faces, but you just camera is stationed somewhere. You could see the lawyers and the litigants and the likes, you know. So things are changing. So that makes people like good journalists like your good self to have a closer access, you know, to what's happening. Of course, and that what you know, the backlash is, so to speak, for lack of a better word to use now, to that is people begin to, you know, throw all sort of shades and their opinions about it. But it's good that you've invited the lawyer to speak about those things,
yeah, so sure,
that
I
can
right,
speak
yeah.
in context as to what's really wrong or right. But in my view, I think it is good or better in some, you know, respects, and worse in some respects, yeah.
Yeah, but looking at what my late uncle said, that, oh, the lady, the justice lady, you know, that symbol, her face is always, their eyes are closed. Okay, but he said, but now, this was a lawyer, you know, he practiced back in the day, which he always said, oh, things were actually good at the time. But he says that, oh, it feels like you now see the rich, you now sees the son of the poor. What do you have to say to this allegation here?
Well,
is this something to consider? Is this something you just, oh, no, maybe your uncle does not know what he said?
No, well, I wouldn't say that. He must have reasons to have said that. But I wish he had, you know, gone further to give you facts. You know, if, for example, he prosecuted a case, I don't know whether he was a, you know, government lawyer or private lawyer like myself, but if, for example, he prosecuted a case and he has proofs, for example, that the case did not go the way it ought to go, by that I mean there are laws. There's something we call stare decisis, by the way. It's Latin, you know, there are Latin words. It means that courts of lower records must follow decisions or authorities of the higher records. For example, if Supreme Court says that Benga Resonia is a female. I'm just saying. Court of Appeal, Federal High Court, NIC, and all other lower courts must follow that. You know, you can't say you're opinionated and you want
to. No, because the Supreme Court is a court of public opinion. It's a court of policy.
Well, it's not just Supreme Court, really. So if a court of appeal says something like that too, other lower courts
must
inherit exactly
what's the Supreme Court, because it becomes law.
It becomes binding. Yeah, binding. We call it stare decisis. Mm. Principle of stare decisis, really. So if your uncle had seen that law, for example, says that I'm a Nigerian and it's clear, and there was a case in court and all facts are clear, law is clear, and there is a judgment against it, then he can begin to speak in perspectives. But what your uncle told you, I think you said he's deceased now, right?
Yeah, he's deceased.
Well, with due respect to him, I wish he had given you more specifics, you know,
because I didn't understand what he said.
You see? So it's difficult to speak, you know, to respond to that, because he has not given specific facts, you know. But if you begin to mention what has happened or things that are happening, and we begin to situate them in laws, then you can begin to make specific references. But that's rather a blanket one to say, really. Anyone can say that, really. Some even say that the woman is, some will tell you that our two eyes are now wide open, really. So people see a sort of things. But when I want to speak over, you know, with respect to sort of things, I like to pigeonhole my discussion to specific instances and events, and I give my opinions about them. So like I said, there are positives and there are negatives, and negatives in my view. Maybe as time goes on, I can point out those positive and negatives.
All right, let's look at what happened. Remember, I said we have the rear view mirror. We just have to look at some of the things that happened way back. So let's look at what happened before the election and right after the election. You know, because many have queried the judiciary now has become the ones who puts people in office. I will use looking at the Imo State situation as a case in point. Many have queried it over and over again. You know, I've heard arguments that have been made for and against it. And of course, we've seen a lot play out, especially the Kano incident in Plateau State. You know, we have seen a couple of things, you know, that have happened that has called the courts to question. How did we get to the point where the courts are now the major determinants of about who enters into office, as opposed to the people and the numbers? How did we get here?
All right, Benga, for the sake of those that may be hearing us now and may not understand the background to your question, let me just clarify.
Okay.
The court has never, and is not the one that puts anyone into political positions. Actually, it's the electorate. All right. But I think...
No, because we've had a situation where they say, if you're not... Go to court.
Yes.
And the courts now decide, this person won technicalities and all.
I was coming there, actually. Okay. All right. So what really happens is this. That's why court is touted, or it is said that the court system or judiciary is the hope of the common man. All right. So if Benga, Rashad Gwan, Kayode Aderemi had an election.
Okay.
All right. Benga has 5 votes. Kayode Aderemi had 2 votes. All right. And the INEC of Fresh FM says that I won.
Okay.
All right. But how would you do that? You know, remember the law says that once INEC has declared a person the winner, as at that time, the person will be returned elected.
Yes.
All right. But if where the court comes in is, if you are saying, no, I won Kayode and I have proof that I won him, where else would you go to say that? Is it your parents? Parents won't fault you over me, because there's an umpire that has declared me the winner, for example. All right. Would you go to the police? Would they shoot me off the place? Once I'm declared governor, for example, they have to protect me and the likes, really. So the only place you can go to, if you know of any, you can tell me now, Gwenga, is the court. And the beauty of it is there's a principle called audi alteram partem. It means that both parties to a case must be heard. Yorubas call it dajo agba oshikani. So Gwenga, you come forward with your proofs. And I, Kayode, they come for my proofs. So it becomes, and nobody is shut out. That's why it's called fair hearing. We have two tenets of justice, all right? The first is what I said. The second is what we call in Latin, nemo judex in casu suo, which means you can't be a judge in your own case. So if that case gets to court, I can't be the one to pronounce judgment, of course. Of course, it will be to my favor. So we find a neutral umpire, which is a judge that I've been trained for many years of experience to listen to our cases. So if you have proofs, like we see all over the places, and you bring them forward, of course, you can be my, you know, return or whatever can be declared void.
But we hear things like, it was just based on technicality. And many Nigerians will be like, what are you saying? Technicality and justice, is it always the same thing?
Now, this is the issue with the conversation, Binga, and not just this morning. Many times when we speak about stuff like this and many other things, we don't oftentimes, you know, speak in specifics. We speak generally. If you say it's based on technicalities, how now? Give me instances. Well, let me point one out to you, and you'll be the judge in this case, Binga. Mm. If the law says that, Binga, you must be a Nigerian to be the governor of Ogun State.
Okay.
That's the constitution, is clear.
Mm.
And you are a Togolese, for example,
mm.
and you contested, and you won me landslide victory.
Okay.
Would it be right to swear you as president or as governor of Ogun State?
Mm.
The answer would be no. So, during the elections, you have won. People voted for you, yes, in their millions, in their droves.
Okay.
But we say in law also that you can't build something on nothing.
Mm.
This is what oftentimes people tag as technicality. Who won, Binga? Do people love Binga? Yes. Kayode, maybe you had 10 million votes.
Okay.
Maybe even if what I had was 50 votes and I was a runner-up, automatically I become the governor. So people call these technicalities. But how would you rather have it? Because the basic law says you have to do so-and-so to get so-and-so. And since the principle is you can't build something on nothing, which makes sense.
Hmm.
You know, I'm seated here now. I'm not scared as I'm seated. That's why I'm not edgy. All right. I'm not feeling like I'm going to flip over because I know that, okay, kudos to Fresh FM. I'm sitting on a solid ground, right? But imagine if this chair were to be placed on a fulcrum or on a pin or something. Of course, I'll be scared. Something can happen. All right, and that's the essence of foundation.
Okay.
So you want to build anything in court, there has to be a foundation first, and you build all the way up, not from up down really. So when people go to court, and you can prove, and I can prove, for example, that okay, Benga won me. In fact, when there was election, but Benga in the first place was never qualified to even contest. So people begin to say, oh, technicality, but how would the judges have it? If you were the judge, what would you declare in that kind of case? I'm not saying that all judgments are fair.
Okay.
After all, there's something we call judgment per incurium. What it means is a judgment given in error. Judges are not God. Of course, they are not infallible.
Infallible, yes.
In fact, if they were infallible, there wouldn't be an appeal court. So when you finish from the election petition tribunals and you are not okay, you can go to appeal court. So if judges were infallible, there would be no appeals. Whatever thing they said would be the right thing. And I think it was Justice Oputa of blessed memory, JSC then, that said that even the Supreme Court, that's apex court in Nigeria, is not infallible. All right. But I think he went further to say that it looks infallible because whatever thing they say is the last. After Supreme Court,
you can't go anywhere. You can go to God. National policy, yes.
you can appeal to God, all right? But that doesn't mean they are infallible. So there can be some mistakes. And that's why I said earlier that as far as people that know me even know that I love criticisms. Please criticize me, but do two things. One, have your facts.
Okay.
Two, proffer solutions or suggestions so that going forward, we know what to do. There's something we call friends of the court. You know, people that at times the court will call them to give their opinions on lawyers on cases, on authorities. If it's a novel, you know, feud, for example, something, of course, there's always a force for everything.
True.
So judges can invite persons who are vast in some areas, you know, to advise the court on how to navigate through those things. All right. They are called friends of the court. Really. They can do that. So when people shout technicalities, at times it happens, all right? But until we begin to, you know, beam our satellites on the specifics, on what really happened and what could have happened, then we may just be making speculations.
All right. Okay, looking at all the things you said, is judiciary still the last hope of the common man?
If it's not judiciary, what will it be?
In the true sense of it. No. Is it still the last hope of the common man?
Well, I'm sorry, you're the one asking me questions.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
If I could turn the mic around, I'll ask you, if it's not the judiciary, what? And the beauty about the judiciary is that, like I said, the judiciary system is based on two principles, as I've said, all right? One, you can't be a judge. If I'm a judge and you insulted me, I can't hear your case, all right? Because I'll be biased. It will be a neutral judge. And the second thing is every party must be heard to a case. That's why if you get a judgment and I'm not a party, you can't bind me. Because I was not given time, opportunity to respond to whatever you filed, really. So the beauty of the judiciary, you know, is that parties are given opportunity to to vent themselves out. It doesn't happen with the executive. It doesn't happen with the legislatures.
Except for the judiciary.
Exactly. That's when, in fact, it's even public, so to speak. When plenary sessions, for example, when you can't get up from here today, for example, and walk to the House of Assembly of Ogun State and say, I want to witness, you know, your session. You know, you have to have had some sort of clearance or something. But you can leave this studio now at 11 a.m., walk down to Ishabo or to Kobakbe and enter the court. No one will ask you, Kilefewa Shembi Bai. Right, so it's open to the public. In the same vein, you can't walk to Aso Rock, of course, you won't even try it. Some may be gone down. So you can see the differences in those things. And like I told you today, as I'm speaking with you, or as I'm speaking to people listening to Fresh FM, right, you can listen to some proceedings of court live. That doesn't happen with the legislature most times, of course. I think, by the way, they have they beam their sessions live too, anyway. I think on some TV stations and like
Parliament.
So, but the only place where the law requires that whatever you do must be public is the court. That's why, if you check section, I think it's 36 of the constitution, I think so, it says that hearings must be done in public. You know, so you can't sit in your chambers or in a corner and do that. So the idea that it is accessible to anyone and everyone at any point in time, you know, makes it fair compared to other arms of the government.
All right, that
is all in one. You can listen live, watch us live, see our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram posts and news updates. The Fresh FM Nigeria mobile app can be downloaded on Android and iOS. As you use the Fresh FM app, review and rate our app. We're available 24/7 for more updates. Thank you for choosing Fresh as the best with Oakrest.
And we're back on radio. We still have Barrister Kaidi Adereni Ron here in the studio. All right, we're still looking at the Judiciary Outlook 2024. There's something Olita Agbakoba said, you know, that is of note for me, when he said that he's been applying to be a judge for a long time, and many people have hinged it on it, saying that, oh, the man is just angry about the fact that he's not become a judge and someone's son, you know, becomes a judge, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Olisa Agbakoba, in his submission, he attributed their rejection to the mixture of administration of justice, in quote, which he believes should be independent of the legislature, with judicial administration, in quote, which he considers subject to legislative oversight. Now, Agbakoba also argued that the current lack of a clear legal framework for appointing senior judges, leaving the process solely in the hands of the National Judicial Council and the Supreme Court justices, that it creates an environment ripe for nepotism and cronyism. End of quote. That's according to Olisa Agbakoba. Now, people have actually pointed fingers. You know, an example to a former governor of Rivers State, who is now the minister of the FCT, Nyesom Wike, you know, that, oh, you see him buying cars for judges, building houses for judges. And many people have said that he's using that to allegedly buy the conscience and the National Judicial Council. Sometimes they keep mute about it. Nigerians even keep mute about it. But as a barrister, is this right? Does this happen in developed countries where a governor will buy houses for judges, buy cars for judges? Is it buying their conscience? Is this right?
Well, Binga, I don't know what happens in other countries, but I know what happens in Nigeria.
Yes.
I have raised many concerns about that personally, really. I remember I've done a lot of press interviews on this subject, and I'm at sharp variance with that kind of system.
Okay.
You know, because Yorubas say that Tenubaje, Ujuati. If, for example, you bought a Prado Jeep for me today as a governor and I'm a judge, and there's a case in my court that concerns you or your interest, as a human, it is very likely that I begin to have a soft spot for you, because you were nice to me. You saw that the car I was using, my official car, wasn't good enough. So it's just likely, you know, it's just being human. Remember, like I said earlier, judges are human beings. If, for example, I fell and I tripped, and this lady I'm seeing here says, oh, Barrister, I'm sorry you fell down. And the other lady says, And I have the chance the next minute or the next hour, even the next year or week or month, to favor either of them. Assuming two of them apply to my office to be employed, who do you think I'll take?
The one who...
Of course. Hmm. So a nice gesture would naturally want to, you know, bring about you being fair or kind to the person. So where I have... And there are times there's an impossible power that judges have. It's called power of discretion.
Okay.
For example, in some cases, the law will say that if you do XYZ as a crime, you can sentence the person to between 3 years and 10 years. I'm just saying, for example.
Okay.
That means you have discretion to sentence to 3 years, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10.
Mm.
So if the person has been someone that has been, you know, having nice demeanor in the court, you know, trying to cooperate with the court system, you can, you know, sentence the person to 3 years.
Okay.
But for a difficult person, you can do the maximum sentence 10 years. So these things come to play. And that is the issue I have with it. The governor, I don't know why we call governors the number one man in the state. I don't know where that came from. Governor is the head of the executive, period.
Just the executive.
The chief judge is the head of the judiciary, period. The speaker is the head of the legislature, period. These guys are three heads in their respective rights. It's period. But when we begin to call the governor's wife first lady, what do you call the wife of a chief judge as a man? So you begin to see some inequalities set in. Of course, it is economic thing playing out. It's about the money. All right. You know, from the federal allocation, monies are sent to the state and the governor disburses monies to them. You know, when it's time to share allocations and the likes, really.
Okay.
And that says a lot. Yeah, look, even if you are my senior in this establishment in Fresh FM, and if I were to be a lawyer in Fresh FM, in-house lawyer, and you are my senior, if I'm the one paying all of your lawyers, there's a way you respect me. There's a way. Because I can say on your pay day, I can say I'm sick, I can't make transfers or write checks. So that has some unintended consequences.
Okay.
So where a governor buys all those things and gives, how many times have you heard, for example, like I've said, and it's the law, the chief judge is the head of the judiciary. So as the head of the judiciary, have you ever heard it before that a chief judge bought car for governor? Ah, glory. So when it's the other way around, it begins to, you know, throw questions, you know, in the minds of people.
Yes.
As we speak today in most states of the country in Nigeria, it is the executive that even presents the bill. You know, that's the, let me use, you know, simple man's language. The monies that judiciary will spend, you know, the expenditure, the appropriation, exactly. Executive presents on their behalf. Why can't they talk? Why not let, just like INEC comes to present her budget and defense by herself, why can't the judiciary, through the chief judge or the registrar or something, come to the House of Assembly of the state, present their expenses and defend by themselves? So when the executive does all those things for you, in my view, it has ways of unintentionally weakening the judiciary. And that's why you hear Juson, for example. Juson is Judiciary Staff Union.
Yes.
You know, like their union.
Yes.
Judiciary Staff Union. You hear things like judiciary independence.
We're still going to talk about
judiciary autonomy.
We're still going to talk about independence of the judiciary.
So it spirals from such concerns.
But just like I said, in all of these things, oh, by this, there's always this, the MBA, I hear that it's mute. Talk about the Judicial Council. They're also mute on this issue. But if we're to bring about a turnaround for better judiciary, where should this change start from? From the CJN or the MBA? Or should even add politicians to it, or Nigerians? Where should the change start from?
So, Binga, I think if we are beginning to ask where it should start from, I think it may not be
top to bottom or bottom to top.
For me, just start. That's what I'm trying to say. Because I think we if we are not careful, we'll just be legalistic on the issue. Does it matter? What we want is change. If we are saying politicians are stealing their monies, should we say that the president should stop first or local government should stop first? No, it should be just stop it. So for me, it makes no difference. Let's just see some changes. So it makes a difference to me whether from top or bottom or middle. Just change things.
Do we have people in the judiciary in Nigeria of today who are willing to change things that you talked about?
Of course, it's got to be now. Of course, and it's got to be everywhere, really. I want to believe strongly so. We have some judges who would like Justice Dattijo, for example, retired, you know, you hear them speak out at times. Go to Osun State, for example. There was a judge that, I think, in about maybe about 8 years ago, thereabout, that spoke very assertively. I think it was against the then governor, I think Arebeshala or something, of Osun State. And he spoke, of course, there is this saying that judges should be seen and not be heard, meaning that you can't always voice out your views when you want on public issues. And the reason is simple, because if such cases now come to your court, one will think that you may be biased because you have a mindset already. All right, but some of them are, you know, they don't even, you know, bother about such, you know, they weather the storms out of boldness, still speak out against such things. So yeah, I've met many of them and I've seen many of them, and we still have such in the system.
All right, feel free to be a part of the conversation. Okay, feel free to be a part of the conversation. We have been talking about how to get our judiciary back, you know, to the way it once was, okay, or how it should be. Feel free to comment, especially even if you're a lawyer or a concerned Nigerian. Did you share Olisa Agbakoba's position? Okay, do you agree that something has to give in the judicial system in Nigeria? And also, do you agree that some changes have to be made? The question is, how ready is the judicial system ready to change? And also, those who make up the judicial system in Nigeria, how ready are you guys ready to make that change that Barrister Aderemi talked about? He said that you it doesn't have to start from either the top or the bottom. Let it just start.
It just happened.
And I like that. Feel free to be a part of the conversation. Okay, well, I think we have this message here. This one says, Ade from Elega. Good morning, Benga. For me, the probe... Okay, I think this was from in the morning. Okay. 0815-432-1079. 0818-111-1079. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Alaji, this is my name. I'm calling from Iwakari.
Alaji, let's
go. Yes. What is the problem? What is our learners from the there? What is the issue that you're talking? We know this problem of the judiciary. We are talking of the solution to restructure the judiciary. What is the problem that does not allow us to do so? Because I believe, look at the cases of number one, the audit in the other developed countries, we have Supreme Court in the case where we handle the issue of the land there, and then that is then there. All the cases going to the Federal Supreme Court, and again, the Minister of Justice and the Attorney General. To treat it to do what is the problem that we are having, that is not possible to get them to have it. Thank you. That's my solution.
All right, thank
and
you very much. Appreciate you. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. Hello, good morning.
Hello to you, Segun, and yes. The engineer Niyi here from Lagos.
Engineer, let's talk.
We have 3 arms of government, only.
Yes.
You know, I've got one kind of dialogue that made according to your approval. Let me also say my own. Because the executive executes, judiciary belongs to the Minister of Justice, which is only one of the cabinet position out of many cabinet positions. The only thing is that most of the judicial officers have sold their conscience on longest time on the bar during the time of Kimi power. You see him also giving his own niece stand and his own personal son stand as the chairman of judicial council, and now on the bench during this time of this time around, the present chief justice, his own son, is among the Court of Appeal justice. All these things, and they can't do it because if they don't have some relationship with the executives who have done favor for, and they are also calling for favor here and there, they are not standing their ground, and that is why we are not having a good judiciary. You see all the judgment that we have been having all this while.
All right, thank you.
How do we go about it?
Thank you very much.
They should, if they are not looking for favor, they will have the conscience. Do they have their conscience?
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate you. You want to react to
that one?
Yes, just quickly to correct something. You said the judiciary belongs or is under the Ministry of Justice. That's not correct. Ministry of Justice is one of the ministries of a state or federal government, as the case may be. The judiciary is a different... In fact, Ministry of Justice is not an arm of government. People often mistake that.
True.
So there are different things, just to correct that. The first caller, I agree entirely. It's one of the points I noted when you invited me for this program, really. I discovered as... Do you have a call or something?
No.
I discovered that specialized courts have speed. When I was in secondary school, I think it was economics class or social studies, maybe one of the two anyway. You know, we had factors of production.
Okay.
You know, I think it was labor, land, entrepreneur, and capital.
Yes.
Those four things. I hope that's not what they are teaching students because things have changed. For example, which land is Facebook using in Abeokuta? Where is the Facebook office? Even all over Nigeria. So things have changed. You know? And speed, if you ask me, has become a strong factor of production. Speed. So we have specialized courts in the country. Example is the NICN, National Industrial Court of Nigeria. They deal with employment matters.
Labor issues.
Exactly. You got that. We have family courts dealing with family matters. Etc. We have election petition tribunals. Elections. From my experience, cases in those courts are very much faster.
And we're talking about Electoral Offences Commission,
exactly,
which INEC is talking about.
So in the same vein, I think that the major things that clog our court system, there should be specialized courts created for them. Even for sexual offenders. So those that are raping, assaulting girls and the likes, those nasty crimes that some guys do, if they are hearing me, they should stop that, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
It's quite a no from a girl should be a no, really. So there should be a specialized court for them. So from experience, I've said those things are faster. I think we have.
Yes. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Gringa.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Larry Olakun, I missed you this morning. No, I didn't hear from you this morning.
Yeah, I was unable to put my thought across this morning.
Okay, let's do it.
I think my greeting to the guest, judiciary is an arm of government. So, they're supposed to be independent. The reason why we are having what we are experiencing now is because of the independence is not there. So, if they are independent, I think they're supposed to be collecting their allocation first line charges. It should be on first line charges. So, they should be able to determine how they will spend their money. Executive can now, if the law for a constitutional permit, they can oversee the spending so that the EFCC, if there is going to be any mismanagement of funds, I think that's what the executive should be able to do.
Okay.
So, but what we have in the very rich, most especially at the state level, I think the former president introduced autonomy, financial autonomy to the judiciary. I doubt it is the state government have been implementing it. So, it's in as much as state government has been the one that is giving financial support doing that to the judiciary. So it will take away their independence. And again, they are like judges are people like us. So they are times they will play themselves in a tight corner. So if you are in their position, similar to they also compromise with the system. Thank you very much, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right, Barrister, let's shift focus a bit and let's talk about the Nigerian criminal justice system. You know, as it affects inmates in prisons, you know, because we know that it is no longer news. We know that there is overcrowding in the correctional facilities. And the disturbing fact is that 2/3 of the inmates are waiting trial inmates. Now, even though there are many reforms that have been instituted, particularly the Administration of Criminal Justice Act, the one they call ACJA, you know, some have argued that even though a little positives here and there, but some have argued that ACJA has not really worked the way it is supposed to, some have said. But give me your opinion on how we can go forward on that as it relates to issues of inmates that are still awaiting trial.
So that's in relation to ACJA, right? See, Binga, if I were to be the GM, or if you were to be the GM of Fresh FM, Abeokuta, and you told this beautiful lady seated here that resumption time is 8 a.m.
Okay.
And they come 8:15 a.m. and there are no consequences, then in the first place, your law or rule was needless.
Hmm.
Just lame. So oftentimes we have laws in place like the ACJA, and there are no consequences when they are flouted.
Okay.
So where there are rules, the essence of rules is for them to be obeyed, orderliness and the likes, really. So where there are rules, for example, saying that, do you know, for example, that the Police Act, the new one that was enacted, I think about 2 years ago, says that there should be a lawyer in every police station in Nigeria. And the reason for that is, at times, some police officers think, with due respect to them, that when they, let me use the colloquial word, catch a criminal in court, and they get him or her to confess, they have done a beautiful job. I don't think so. Maybe they're listening to me now.
There's the Anti-Torture Act.
Exactly. The laws are there. But the problem oftentimes is there are no consequences for those things. So I've asked police officers before, many of them, that you guys relax. If you beat this guy to a pulp and he confesses, do you get promotion? Mm. I get to ask them. That's why you're about to say that, Olopa, Amuninji Amuni, Iwundekwe. All right? So your job is to investigate, and where needed, you arrest. And you push to the court for prosecution. It ends there. But when you begin to, you know, weave your feelings, your sentiments, your biases, your idiosyncrasies around what you think someone has done. I've seen a situation whereby, you know, a guy was arrested for alleged rape and he was being slapped from the point of arrest. He was a rape. Like, excuse me, guy. Make your findings.
Exactly. Before.
Exactly. And if you have proofs, tender them. The guy, the punishment is life imprisonment. So all those slaps would even, of course, if I was to be his lawyer, there would be problem. Because I will make sure I get pictures of the So that means you beat him to confess. You have a minus already scored. Because when he gets to court, it will be a forced statement, you know, given without voluntariness on the person's part.
Okay.
So this, most of our laws we have, like the ACJA, there are no consequences. So Police Act says, for example, that every, you know, station in Nigeria must have
a lawyer.
And the idea is to protect the rights of persons that are, you know, arrested.
Okay.
But it says nothing if such does not happen. So the law says there must be lawyer. But and that law is silent if there is none.
If there is none, there should be consequences.
So why should I comply? Okay. That means if I don't comply, nothing will be done. And that's what we are seeing now. So
I thought there should be some sort of maybe magistrates that need to go to the court every week to see to, you know, awaiting trial.
The law says that, again, and to my magistrate friends and many people listening, that's the truth, that's a fact. But the unfortunate thing, Binga, is that same law is silent when magistrates don't do it.
Oh dear.
So what's the point of having a law without a consequence if it's flouted? So, and this thing pervades, you know, many, you know, sectors. That's why the areas that you see that people respect laws the most is where you have enforcers. Like, you drive one way, three is good, they wait for you. Or LASMA. You know, so there are almost immediate consequences. So you see greater compliance in that regard. But most of these laws are just there, and there are hardly consequences when they are not obeyed.
Talking about consequences, we're bringing it into judicial reform now. Okay, if you're to suggest some areas in the judiciary that requires urgent reform as we journey into the heart of 2024, what would you suggest?
Specialized courts. I've said it earlier.
Let
there be court for land. In Lagos, it's happening. There's a land division for courts.
Okay.
There are judges. Well, it happens in a way here in Ogun State too, because some judges, oftentimes, criminal matters are referred to their courts. Maybe because of experience they've had, or because of, you know, the penchant they have for that, you know, genre of practice, really. But when that happens, that's the beauty of it, Benga. If, for example, you live here now and you are called from the UK, that BBC wants to interview you, I'm not sure you palpitate, because you've been doing journalism for God knows how many years. But if they call a carpenter, respect to them, you're like, shekos you. Fear will be there. So the difference is experience. You know, what you've done over the years and the like. In the same way, when you have a land matter assigned to a judge that has been doing land cases for many years, of course, he must have known the procedures and things like that. So that brings speed. But where a judge, you know, sits over criminal matters, over labor matters, over rape matters or family matters, contracts, all those things put together, you know, taxation, it has a way of, you know, slowing things down, because he has to read far and wide. But if his reading is in a way narrowed, in a way, it gives speed. Examples, right? We have the, you know, courts, the judges at Federal High Court, for example. there are list of things that they can do.
Okay.
We have the industrial court too, like I said, labor matters. So that judge would have most likely read everything there is
on labor.
On labor, really. But where you bring everything, that's why I pity at times state high court judges.
Because everything is just dumped in.
They have what you call imagine general jurisdiction. When they are not good, it will make things tough for them. Because today, Benga said I slapped him. Tomorrow, Benga said I'm owing him. Then the day after, Benga said there was an election and then I cheated him. But everything is brought to their courts. And the lawyers even say, I think it was Lord Denning that said that God forbid that a lawyer or even a judge should know all the law. So having to read anything and everything has a way of slowing you down.
Okay,
specialized courts will help.
Bringing it down to independence of the judiciary. You know, it is often said that there needs to be a measure of independence between the three arms of government. But where's the place of the parliament? But if we're to talk about independence of the judiciary, is the judiciary truly independent in Nigeria? One. And what will it take for the judiciary to be truly independent?
Okay, Binga, by the way, just a quick one, by way of detour. When you were calling the phone number, I tried to write it down. Even myself, I don't get them.
Okay, the phone, okay.
It's like you rap.
Okay, the number 0815-432-1079.
Okay, thank you.
So, so talking about the independence of the judiciary, you will answer that question right after this break. Let's quickly go on this quick break. We'll be right back. Don't touch that radio.
Oh yeah, pay your money from the back. I beg, I don't get change, oh.
Conductor, take the money.
When I don't come again, where I won't find change for this big money now?
Okay, just take the money.
Auntie, I don't get change, oh. If you know, say you don't get change, you better calm down now.
Calm down, boss. No need for change. I go pay for everybody inside this bus, plus you and the driver's there.
Ah, cash, madam. You get money, oh.
No, be so. I just want to share the goodness. In fact, soft drink, bring one more Guinness for everyone.
It's always a good time to share goodness and spread positivity. Malta Guinness, enjoy a world of good.
And we're back on radio. So we talk about independence of the judiciary. What will it take for the judiciary to be independent? And if, on that question, do we truly have independence of the judiciary?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. So what will it take for us to have an independent judiciary?
They don't have their money directly.
Funds. As long as the funds comes to them directly, period. It makes them independent.
I gave you an example. If you are my senior in this job and all these beautiful faces and handsome faces sitting down,
yes,
and I'm the one paying you guys, maybe the owner says I should pay you guys, there's a way you guys just respect me because I'll have some sort of discretion, you know, to do those things. So you are not in the... I said no, because as long as what I do or what judiciary does is dependent on the nod from someone else,
from the executive
judiciary, that then the independence is not there, really. And really about money, the governor is called number one man in the state today and president number one man in the country because of one thing: financial powers. Yes, they are the ones that sign the billions and trillions. So that's the issue. So if you redirect that and make the judiciary be in charge of their own money directly from the coffers of the federal government, then we will see more of independence.
Let's talk corruption this time. How does the judiciary purge itself of corrupt lawyers, corrupt judges? Do they do this name and shame, or their secrets are safe with the judiciary?
So there's something called LPDC, all right? Legal Practitioners Disciplinary Committee, LPDC.
Okay.
So that is a committee that disciplines lawyers.
Hmm.
So even for those listening to us now, if you have a lawyer that you are convinced has done something wrong or something unprofessional, write to the NBA, all right? And they have ways of setting up panels to look into that. The punishment consequences are there, unlike some laws. The person can be derobed, for example. The person's license can be seized, for example.
Okay.
Person's practice can be suspended for some years, for example. So, you know, there are some things that can be done if that happens.
But we've seen
same thing for judges.
I remember, apologies, during the tribunal, you know, I remember the way when they were dispensing as justice, they were in fact saying that, how come you as an SAN, why would you bring this kind of things to court? How do you punish or how do you discipline a lawyer who knows that this thing is headed for failure, but will still tell his client, let's go, we'll do it. Well, how do you handle such issues?
So the list of categories of what can be done is not closed. One, cost. Like we heard that one of my learned and reverse seniors, I don't want to mention his name, I think some 40 million naira was awarded against him for filing something frivolous. that as an SAN, he ought to have known
exactly
that this was bound to fail. It was a DOA case, a dead arrival case, really. So imagine trying to let me leave the facts out. So cost is there. Okay. Another thing is too, when at times the bench lashes on lawyers, remember judgments are written down.
Yes.
So before the court is awarded, you see some things like, I didn't expect this from you, so and so. So those things have ways of, you know, having a wrong tell sign on the lawyer's, you know, prestige, or so to speak. So there are a lot of things that have been done and have been done to, you know, to correct, you know, that. And of course, like we said, we have the disciplinary committee, and for judges, do you have the NJC? All right, when they receive petitions and treat them against erring judges, all right? But you're about to say that Ejo Lankokatu Koija, you have your proofs before going forward, right? Because those you are reporting to punish were not there when nothing happened.
Okay.
So if you go and say, ah, judge Egba Mini, Ogba, Ogba, Bribe, Ogba, Ogba, Kiss Mije, what proofs have you, really? So we have to, you know, up our games. I think we should report certain things if we see them. So Nigeria will be better for us. So like I said earlier, I don't care that it's from the up or bottom. Just change for the better.
Okay, now, as a barrister, before we go, my final question, you know, to you. Do you think criminals are given a proper rehabilitation in correctional facilities in Nigeria? Or do you think they are worse off after their sentence and moved back into the society?
Yeah, what's off? Yeah, what's off? That's his direct answer. And I've seen first-hand examples. I was in court in December, just last month, and there was this guy that was arraigned for stealing. And he said he was guilty. You know, he didn't even waste anybody's time. My lord, he asked the court to send him to prison, that he was guilty, that he was ready to go to prison. And while the judge was writing the sentence, prosecutor just looked up and said, I've seen your face before. Check what? This guy had been sentenced to prison twice before.
Oh dear.
For stealing. And that was the third time. All right. Of course, there are a lot of examples. And of course, I've been there to provide some support. By the way, January 16th is my birthday.
Oh, yours is 16th. 16th, yes. Mine is 19th.
You see that? I've seen you for 3 days. What I do most years is I like to go to the prisons to help awaiting trial inmates.
Oh, really? So you get a free service?
Exactly. I write to the prison authority just to help. I say, give me about 10 or 20. Let me help them pro bono for free, really. And from my experience, I speak with them, with their parents and their likes. They are hardened. Some of them are hardened. At times, they even tell me, lawyer, what do you want? Kill a fair? Like, calm down. I came to help you.
Just to help
you. You're not even paying me anyways, really. So they are more hardened. And, well, I don't want to push blames around. You can't fault these prison guys. The warden's there, really, because what you provide them with, that they will pass down the buck, you know, to the prisoners or to the inmates, so to speak, you know. So, but then, by the way, I interviewed their boss, Dele Oshin. I think it was last year when I went for my birthday really. I asked him questions that changing the name from prisons to corrections, did it change anything?
Did it change?
Because he laughed when I asked that question. So it's not really in the name, really. It's possible to have a Judas today, that would be a good guy.
Maybe a final one. Let's still talking about the prison, the decongestion of prisons. You know, some will say awaiting trial, they don't take them to court. Is it a problem of the judiciary or the problem of the prison authorities here?
Problem of everybody.
Both of them are at fault.
Even you being And here is why.
Okay.
Here is why. You know, someone, for example, I've been mentioning rape today. I think, I don't know why, really. I'm going to say it again.
There was, in fact, a case.
Yes, and people should stop that nasty, that nonsense, really. So, someone has been arrested for rape. All right. And the person has been arraigned in court. Remember, maybe it was a child or something, and the parents saw it. We had witnesses.
Okay.
You know what happens most times? After arraignment, you hear things like, Motifija, Polonja.
Settle out of court.
Meaning that I leave it to God. So prosecutors have the problem of getting witnesses to come and testify. Prosecutor wasn't there when she was raped. Even at times, the girl that was raped herself will say, ah, stigma, I don't want to talk. They will say they have raped him before.
No, but this time, they are already in prison.
That's what
awaiting trial.
That's what awaiting trial means. They are awaiting trial because there are no witnesses. So you'll be forced to keep on asking for adjournment. Madam, I'm sorry. My witness said he's sick. You keep on giving nasty excuses at times.
And the person just...
remains
there.
And the judge will not just want to release straight like that. It will take a number of times, you know, before, and if the court sees that consistently you've not brought your witnesses, court may strike out the case of prosecution, really. But before that happens, people languish in prisons. So these are some of the issues, you know. And, you know, at times unfortunately, yes, during election petition, you know, cases, judges go for, they are transferred. It is almost impossible for a judge of a state to sit over election matter in that state.
Okay.
They are transferred, like there's a cross, something like, yes, that, really.
Mm.
But what happens is, for those 6 months, cases will not be heard.
So the person in those courts. Just...
So imagine someone in prison awaiting trial, and there's an election year.
So just free 6 months.
You have 6 months, okay, and most times, because election petition cases, they sit day to day. After the election petitions, they go on leave. They have to rest.
Sure.
The guy is sitting in the prison.
180 days. Yes.
For you know, they don't even do appeal. Yeah, that's 6 months. Yes. Really, if you count, really. So these are the things. Some of the things that happen at times. At times, a lawyer could be on serious with his job. At times, with some nasty, you know, applications in court being brought by some of my colleagues, which is bad enough, really, really. You know, so we know some things will fail. We just bring it to bite time at times, really. Those things are things that we should do. You know, that's why I said it's everybody's business.
Everybody's up for. But anyway, thank you so much. I've been speaking with Kayode Adeyemi. He is the Oba Mofin of ITES, and I know why they gave you that title. Really, really, really brilliant. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll be back again on Wednesday by the special grace of God. My name is Binga Oreshagun. Yes, I'm still the man you just have to love. Good morning and have a beautiful Monday.
From the Rock City of Nigeria.
Rock City of Nigeria.
This is Fresh 107.9.
Hey there, fabulous people. As we dive into this festive season, brace yourselves for some amazing updates from Africa's number one premium malt brand, Malta Guinness. It is that magical time of the year when joy, love, and kindness fill the air. Let's turn this holiday season into a spectacular celebration of goodness and wellness. And while we are savoring the flavor of the season, let kindness be your companion, adding a touch of goodness to every festive gathering. Whether it is enjoying sumptuous meals, delightful snacks, or those cherished family moments, raise a glass of Malta Guinness and toast to spreading joy and happiness all round. Stay tuned for exciting surprises and goodness-filled activities from Malta Guinness this festive season. Keep an eye out for our special giveaways, events, and experiences that will add a sprinkle of joy to your celebrations. Remember, the essence of Christmas is sharing. Let's come together to create a world of good, ensuring everyone feels the warmth and joy of the season. Malta Guinness, enjoy a world of good.
Fresh FM.
Hearing the best makes you feel your best.
Fresh FM. Tayo ba sa mbeko duro je, iwo tete yada so fun uwe irose. Eye to sare bi asako sinile aye. Erako to du biti kini uko sinile iwo.